We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Please mark your calendars for our next community meal. It will be October the 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. If you don't get your fill of Oktoberfest, join us for brats and sausage, sauerkraut, potato salad, and cake. Lots of fun and fellowship here at Trinity United Methodist at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Also, on October 31st from 6 to 9 p.m., please join us in the back parking lot as we will be having fun with kids in trunk or treating. Everyone is invited to stop by for a trick or treat, and please join us here at Trinity United Methodist at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our special music this morning is in memory of Nick Krieger. The song is being presented by Jim Papenberger and Mark Smallwood.
Yep, there was a mistake in the bulletin, said Georgianne, but she's had other obligations, and we respect that, but we're back to being proof. This song was actually sung by it's called Inagata da Vida. It was actually sung by a rock group back in the 60s called Iron Butterfly. Mm-hmm. So, yep, we're going to call ourselves hard proof today instead of just proof. I want to kind of be in that theme. But we definitely want to dedicate this song to the memory of Nick Krieger. This song, it is a rock song, but it actually could pass as a religious, a Christian song, because Inagata da Vida was actually meant to be in the Garden of Eden. But one guy said to the other, what did he say that? What's he singing? Inagata da Vida? Huh? In a God of the Vida. Okay. That is what got written down, and because that was such a funky time, the producer said, we're going to keep that as the title. Okay? So it's In a God of the Vida. And really, the song is about a man professing his love for his girl. Probably Nick professing his love for Carolyn. The cool thing about this song is it's 17 minutes. But you're only going to be exposed to about 2 or 3 minutes of it. Okay? We just don't have the bandwidth to stay up here that long, do we, Mark?
No. Neither do they.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some reasons they suggest why that was that long. We don't know for sure.
But this is a karaoke version, so if you want to join along and sing, please do so. Because we've only practiced this once, and so it'll actually sound like a karaoke version.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very fair. Okay, well, we're going to have the Troy Nicholson Orchestra kick us off.
Here you go, man. In a garden of Eden, honey, don't you know that I'm loving you? In a garden of Eden, baby, don't you know that I always be true? Oh, the clouds of day, and it's in my hand. Come with me, hey, and I'll walk this land. Hey, please take my hand. Let's do it again, Mark. In a garden of Eden, honey, don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I'll always be true? Oh, won't you come with me, hey, and take my hand? Oh,
Nick would like that because he just would.
Our scripture this morning is from Philippians 3, 4 through 14. It's on page 1163 in your pew Bible. Following that, our sermon this morning will be Pressing Forward by our pastor, Angel Armstrong. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for a legalistic righteous, faultless. But whatever was in my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish when they may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness has comes from God and is by faith. I will want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of what for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press onward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Today's message tells us to be humble, to focus upon Jesus Christ, to keep our eyes focused on the prize. And that is an amazing word in today's hustle and bustle and politically correct world. We as Christians have become timid. We don't want to offend anybody. We want to be politically correct. But we need to stand for what we believe in. We need to forget about the past, to press forward towards the prize, which is Jesus Christ. The whole book of Philippians has a good word for us. It teaches us to focus on good things. You know, I grew up believing, expect the worst, and then whatever happens will be okay. But I'm learning that if you expect good things to come into your life, good things will indeed happen. What would happen if all of us would stand firm, expecting good, to be gentle and thankful, thinking of what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is pleasing, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise? What if seekers of justice and righteousness would first confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors? Psalm 106:6 tells us that if we want things to change, we need to confess our sins and the sins of our ancestors. Today's passage tells us that no matter what is going on in our life, we will be saved by Jesus Christ because of our faith in Him. Nothing that we can do will get us to heaven. Yet, while we are here upon this earth, we are greatly encouraged to focus on Jesus, to keep our eyes on the prize, to expect good things to happen, to discipline ourselves to live and look more like Jesus Christ. It is a hard task, but our Lord expects it of us, and it wouldn't be in His Word if we could not accomplish it. One day, there was a parade, and the parade stopped. A mouse was riding on the back of an elephant and had to cross across a bridge. And as to be expected, the minute that elephant stepped on that bridge, it began to sway and shake. And as soon as they made it across to the other side of the bridge, the mouse said, "Whew! My, oh my! We shook that bridge, didn't we?" Made me stop and think about how I phrase things sometimes. I get really excited about what God's doing in my life, about what God's doing in our church's life. And sometimes when I express that excitement, it sounds like I'm bragging or I'm trying to take the honor from it. And I'm really trying to learn to be careful how I phrase things, trying to make sure that I am truly humble. It is an all too common of an experience to meet people who seem like they are somehow related to that mouse. They brag about everything. They brag about their cars. They brag about their houses. They brag about their accomplishments. They brag about how perfect they are. Beloved, this must not be so. We have nothing that really matters in this life or in the life to come without Christ Jesus. And even though we would like to think that we're not like those people, I think we're all capable of thinking that we can do more than we can. I think we're all capable of slipping up in how we say something and having it appear as if we are bragging. And the problem with that is that diminishes other people. It also sets up false expectations for ourselves and for the people that we worship with. Paul lists off all of his accomplishments. He begins by reminding his readers that if anyone should feel guaranteed of salvation, it should be him. He lists those qualifications off, and it sounds as if he has everything possible going his way. Have you ever met people like that? Everything in their world is right. He starts by saying that that he was circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, mind you, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. And as to the law, he was a Pharisee. And as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And as to righteousness under the law, he considered himself blameless. Paul establishes the credentials as a Jew, one of God's chosen people. But then he goes even further. He says, as a Pharisee, he was not only aware of the requirements in his Jewish faith, but he held to each and every one of those laws. Each and every one of those man-made rules, he held to. I don't know that I could do that. But what I do know is that's not what saves us. It is having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he justifies us, makes us right, washed in the blood of Jesus. He washes us whiter than snow. And as we continue on, we stumble again and again. And for that, the word says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all we have to do is get back up and reach our hand out to him. And he will once again forgive us and wash us clean and set us on our path. But he does expect us to begin living more and more as the Word of God tells us to live. All of that good stuff that Paul was bragging about, he suddenly becomes aware that it means absolutely nothing. It is trash. It is rubbish. It means nothing. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as a loss because of Christ. He had been so proud. He had worked so hard on all of his accomplishments. He white-knuckled it and he held to the letter of the law. Beloved, we can do that too. But it won't save us. It won't deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ. It won't bring us any closer to God. And it will alienate the people around us. Because he knows Christ, none of these things even matter to him anymore. Everything else has lost its meaning. He does acknowledge that it only lost his meaning because he has a relationship with Jesus. Having established the fact, Paul begins to brag once again. Apparently, it's a hard habit to break. He begins to brag about the things that he has done in Jesus. The fact that he has lost everything and in fact regards everything in this world as rubbish. And the only thing that really matters to Paul is his relationship with Christ. It is this relationship that is the complete opposite of his bragging character before that. Bragging shuts people out. Bragging elevates the one who is bragging, but it pushes down everyone else. It diminishes everyone else. And to the extent that one of us is diminished, all of us are diminished. For all of us are part of the body of Christ. Through all of this, we might expect Paul to show just a little bit of pride, just a little bit of bragging in the things that he has already established. After all, he has a relationship with Christ Jesus and is assured of going to heaven. His salvation is secure. But Paul surprises us once again. And he confesses that he has not obtained the benefits or even reached the goal of a complete relationship with Christ Jesus. Instead, he confesses that he is working upon it, that he is a sinner in need of grace, that as much as he tries and strives towards looking like Jesus Christ, he fails. But even more, Paul finds this something to be a work still in progress, as perhaps we all should. Not that we should let ourselves off the hook for the sins that we commit. No, we should ask for forgiveness, and we should set our feet upon the path of righteousness and strive with everything in our being to become more and more like our Master. This is not the sort of thing that people brag about. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to share in his sufferings by becoming like him in death. There is nothing here that is warm and fuzzy. There once was a woman who had 5 kids, and she ran next door to the neighbor's house for just a minute. And beloved, if you haven't already learned this lesson, never ever open your mouth about how another person raises their child or deals with their grandchildren. If you do, you will be opening yourself up to a host of things. I can remember one time I went across the way in Navy Housing into my friend Lee's house, and sitting there on the living room floor was her 4 boys with a big chocolate cake and a butcher knife, and Lee was asleep on the couch. I opened my mouth up to the neighbor. Oh my, was that week a horror. One of mine stuffed a crayon up her nose so far that we had to go to the emergency room. Another one picked up gum in the parking lot with glass in it and cut her mouth open. And then the crowning jewel, the 2 girls decided they were going to make their baby brother up. So they used fingernail polish as eyeshadow. Here I am in my nightgown running across the way and bouncing through Lee's door, running to the sink. She didn't ask a question. She came running alongside of me, flipped the faucet on, and held the baby down while I rinsed his eyes out. Never judge another. You're opening yourselves up for all kinds of things. Paul said, there is nothing warm and fuzzy about living like Jesus. The mother I was talking about, she got back from the neighbor's house, and there are her 5 children gathered in the living room on the new carpet. And she could see something squiggly moving around. So she stepped a little bit closer, and lo and behold, there was a family of skunks. They'd come in the back door. She freaked out. She shouts to her children, run, children, run. They did, each one of them picking up one of the baby skunks and running towards the door. Our bragging can cause as much destruction in our lives as a family of skunks in our house. There was a woman that can only join the upper crust of the country club if she could prove that for 4 generations back, her family line was clean and pure. So she hired a genealogist, paid her ahead of time, told her what she was doing it for. Within 2 days, the woman came to her and said, there's a problem. Your maternal great-grandfather died in the electric chair in Sing Sing. The woman said, oh my, this won't do. Can't you just leave that out? Can't you just forget about it? The genealogist says, well, no, I can't. after about a week of bickering back and forth, she began. Sorry, I saw them holding up a note up there, so I must be doing something not quite right. She began to put, never mind, totally, my bad, here we go. After further discussion, the genealogist agreed to put the best possible face on the final report, and she wrote down the maternal great-grandfather of this subject was so passionate about his work. He worked in a large institution in upstate New York. He was so passionate that he literally died in the harness. That's one way of framing it. Here, Paul, an upright man, trying as hard as he can to become like Jesus. Here is Paul, by his very words, trying to be an example, urging us to become like Jesus as well, speaking in terms of both actions and attitudes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Anyone who thinks his time is too valuable to be spent with someone else, to be spent quietly praising the Lord, will eventually have no time for God or his brother, but only for himself and his own follies." Paul is urging us to join him in pressing forward towards the goal, in doing everything in our power to live like the Word of God has taught us to live. Because one day, things will be different. They will definitely be different in heaven. But we are called to bring heaven here to earth.
One day there'll be no more waiting left for our souls. One day there'll be no more children longing for home. One day when the kingdom comes right here where we stand, we will see the promised land. One day there'll be no more lives taken too soon. One day there'll be no more need for a hospital. One day every tear that falls will be wiped by his hand. We will see the promised land. Brought to an end.